Are we living in a revolutionary moment? Fareed Zakaria makes the case that we are. And if he's right, there's a lot at stake.
I think the stakes are really liberal democracy. What has happened is the people who are displaced, anxious, angry, radicalized, the focus of their ire, their attention, is basically to tear down the system, you know, the world that produced all this.
Hear more this week on The Gray Area, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Mo Greens for being a sponsor of today's show. If you're looking for an elite cannabis destination, make the wise choice. Mo Greens, the premium consumption lounge in the heart of San Francisco. Mo Greens combines old-school San Francisco charm with unparalleled customer service, creating a truly elite cannabis experience. Go to mogreens.com to plan your visit.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Got Dank Weed here. That's from Nini on Patreon. We're always trying to figure out things to add to our Patreon to make it worth it for you to spend $4.20 a month, mostly to just keep this show going, but because we love doing it, as long as you like having it. And you can also check out our bonus episodes of doing Doug with Dabs. Speaking of which, I've already done some today, so that's probably why I'm talking so slowly. Make sure you become a 420 Club member on Patreon, patreon.com. Doug plugs. Doug Loves Movies will be taped tonight at the UCB Theater right here in Los Angeles, if I am still conscious. And I'll be doing stand-up in Birmingham and Huntsville, both in the Alabama area, April 14th and 15th. For all of my road dates, go to douglovesmovies.com. And enjoy the show. Hey, blast off. Here we are in the basement with two, I gotta say, like, regulars on the program. We've both been on the show before. Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle. Yeah. Left to right. Doing it right.
Should keep rhyming.
No way.
It's so much fun.
I can't do it. I mean, it is fun, but I'm so bad at it.
Don't think too much.
That's it. It's the don't think thing. It's like improv. I'm bad at that too, like with a group of people.
That's why I'm bad at basketball too.
What?
Because I think too much.
Basketball?
Yeah, I'm on the court being like, do I go to the left? You know what I mean?
And then somebody steals the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've got options.
And I'm like, I'm still dribbling. There's no ball here. I'm like, what? Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it would work very well.
Mm-mm, you got to go on instinct.
That might just be like a too high for basketball kind of thing.
Well, not when I was in middle school.
Oh, okay.
High off of anxiety.
Yes, I have anxiety, yes.
Well, you know, I normally grill the guests about, you know, when they've, you know, how they started, when they started, but you've been on the show enough that we've probably talked about that, so mm-hmm. Everybody just go back and check out in the archives mm-hmm. those episodes. They're still on the free side of the paywall. You can still see all the shows for free. Mm.
What's on the pay side of the paywall?
Nothing.
We
don't have a paywall. We have a... You know, we have a Patreon,
yeah.
But that's, you know, for other stuff, you know, that anybody can watch this show for free on YouTube. But we're also on Pluto TV now, the 420 channel. And so it was about several hours of us a day on there, I think.
Wow. So you guys like sweet extras, basically.
I've been seeing ads all over the place for Pluto TV.
Oh, yeah,
lately. And it's like, okay, I guess they've got money.
Not a planet anymore.
Because this
but definitely
free
a channel.
TV thing that we're just going to be a channel and just go on the internet and find us, that seems weird.
But you're paying somehow, right?
You're watching the ads that they have on there, I guess?
Do they have lots of ads?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I guess we're going to have to check it out.
Yeah.
At Pluto.tv. I don't know what the website is.
I think it's PlutoTV.com.
Oh, I messed it up.
I think.
Sorry, Pluto.
It's probably both of those.
Yeah.
Probably, they're paying probably got that much money.
They got that money for bus ads. Yeah.
They probably bought two domains.
Jesus.
You got those bus ad monies.
They got billboards, and like at the airport, there's a bunch of signage for them. Yeah. Mm. They're just suddenly all everywhere. Because, you know, I've known about them for a while because, you know, we've been on there for a little while. But boom.
Airport advertising seems very expensive.
That does, right?
It seems like it's many more thousands of dollars to advertise at the airport.
Really? Why do you think that?
I feel like they're only advertising to rich people who are traveling all the time.
You want to rearrange your rich stocks and bonds? Rich guy, do it with us. Like, I feel like it's stuff like that.
Hey, rich people, watch this free TV channel.
Yeah. They probably think that's for peasants. That's,
yeah, exactly. Might not be the... Pluto, get your money out of LAX before it's too late. Take it away from those fancies. We've got a sativa today called Sour Diesel. That's a classic name. Yes. No problem with
legendary.
That.
Legendary.
And an indica called Ace of Spades.
The Ace of Spades!
The Ace of Spades!
That's the only Motorhead song I know.
Oh, it's such a good song.
It's a real good song.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
I know that, and I know Triple H's theme song that Motorhead does, and that's it.
What's that?
Okay.
Bow Down to the King.
Of course.
Bow down to the King.
All right. So this is going to be
all of those songs are just basically you just say a random sentence that way
over and over again.
Song. That's how songs work.
Open the door.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that's a new song. Great.
That's how songs work. Okay. That's all they are is repeated things. that's called a hook, and they use that as a technical term, but really it's just repeating a thing.
Mm-hmm. Hypnotic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sour Diesel.
And that's song science.
So go ahead and smoke.
I'm going to take one.
That's all I was driving at. You know, sometimes you get so high that you just start yammering and forget to get high.
Which one's the sativa?
All of them are loaded with sativa. Okay. We have the indica standing by for the brave people that want to do that in the middle of the afternoon. You guys have shit to do today?
Yep.
Yeah, so you don't want to mess with that, do you?
I want to be high and alert.
You know, even if the indica sativa thing's not as drastic as people tend to make it out to be, I still like to play along because no good reason, really.
Okay.
I for a long time, I thought it didn't fucking matter. I thought the strain didn't matter, like indica, mm-hmm. sativa.
Yeah.
But then I realized, one makes me do stuff. The other one makes me go home. It's very important for me to know.
I do feel like there's a difference, but I also feel like the longer I stay away from the indica, the more, built up that, So when I do decide to use it, like, especially if I can't sleep, I'll hit some indica because I've always got some lying around,
And, that is what it's good for.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you must have so much weed in your house.
Not that much. I just sort of bring home a lot, but then now that, you can travel with it.
Oh, uh-huh,
You know, what? LAX up to an ounce.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that new?
Pretty new, yeah.
Up to an ounce, wow.
But pretty quiet. You know how, isn't
Very
it weird
quiet.
How those things aren't like, everybody I say that to goes, really? Like, it's not a widespread, it's not known, but it is what
Here's
happens.
A question.
Because they don't want you to know.
Right?
Is the dog going to bark, though? Like, that's the question.
That's right.
No.
Are the dogs up on the new law?
Right. Are they only going to bark past the ounce? Is that
what's
happening?
Are these drug dogs up on it? Are they just still stuck in the 80s?
That dog barks, I feel like I'm going to jail, no matter what.
Well, you're talking international if the dog barks, because they only care about dogs only care about drugs internationally for the most part. Maybe in Miami. But, like... the basic dogs, I don't want to call dogs basic.
They're fucking basic.
Some dogs are basic.
I don't want to attack them. The last thing I'm going to call them is basic bitches. That's never going to happen.
That's the only
that
appropriate
rude.
Time to
that
do
is
it,
That is rude. I know.
That's the only time when it works.
It still feels terrible.
It's a dog that wears crystals.
I don't like it. So...
dog with frosted tips.
Wait, so Doug, what is there that you would have in your house a lot of that people would be surprised? What do you have a lot?
Playbills from Broadway shows.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, you're big into it. Whoops.
I'm into it, yeah. This always falls down, but don't worry, it's only 17 years bad luck.
Oh,
perfect. So it's not a problem.
I just got out of a 15-year strain.
No, wait, it's 17 years bad luck if you don't knock it over while you're here.
Oh, okay.
I got to work on that.
Sorry, just rush into it before you leave.
Thanks, Thais.
Don't forget.
So Playbills, that's right. You're like a big theater guy.
I have a ton of that.
Playbills bother me.
Why do they bother
me? Because
you?
They all have the same thing at the top. It's weird to me.
Playbill?
Yeah, but like the same way. And it obviously hasn't been updated since 1971, and I don't understand why.
Playbill is a brand.
Oh, who funds this? Why? How do they make money?
They're like their own organization.
They have ads in them.
Oh. It's a little magazine with ads and articles, so they have to have writers and stuff, probably stringers.
They kind of are like almost like a journalism organization.
This is an old mafia racket.
Yeah, I follow them on Instagram, and they just, their Instagram's nuts.
You like, follow Playbill on the gram?
Posting shit constantly about everything that's happening on Broadway and threatening to come to Broadway. I learn about it all, or I skim past it, depending on...
When you get done hitting that, I want to know what's good on Broadway now. Maybe you know what's good on Broadway now.
That's a fun segment for all the stoners out there. getting high. Let's talk about theater.
Hey.
But that's the great thing about...
stoners love theater.
Whatever you like. If you're high, you know, it's just going to make that experience even better. I get so high as I can when I see Broadway shows, which is tough in the wintertime because that walk from the hotel to the theater is so cold. Cold really sobers me up. It really gets rid of my high, yeah. But that aside, I just love seeing Broadway shows high out of my mind. Last time I was there, we saw True West with Paul Dano and Ethan Hawke.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting.
So good. It's such a good play to begin with, and then they both did a great job. And it was really entertaining.
What's it about? I've never heard of it.
It's about two dudes. One of them's a writer, and he's trying to write a screenplay, and he's got a producer who's interested in it, and he's going to come over, and they're going to work on their pitch and to raise the money. But then his wayward brother, who's just a complete weirdo and a psychopath, comes home and decides he wants to be a writer.
Oh, God.
And
that sounds great.
And he has one idea that the producer likes, and it sort of all goes from there. But it's, you know... It's brothers that are very, very unhappy with each other.
Yeah.
On stage for 2 hours with actual physical violence.
Yeah.
It's really intense.
It goes there.
Yeah. As does a lot of Sam Shepard has some real violent behavior.
Did you ever see, there was like a Showtime movie version of it with Bruce Willis. Did you ever see that?
Was he the wayward brother?
Yes.
He looks like the wayward brother.
There was a legendary version of it in New York years ago.
Saw it.
John C. Reilly and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
And they flipped the roles.
In my apartment.
Holy shit.
Did they do it week by week? They flipped the parts?
It was like every two or three performances.
That's insane.
Yeah. And when I saw it, I only got to see it once. It was one of those things where, you know, everybody wanted to see it twice just to see them switch parts. You know, and see how it all plays out. You know, but you could sort of imagine it. And you could, and you know that Philip Seymour Hoffman nailed the timid and the rager, whereas John C. Reilly was probably better as the timid guy. Because you never see, rage isn't really one of his go-tos.
He does Out of Control pretty good, though.
Yeah, crazy for sure.
Like Magnolia.
Yeah.
This is some real analysis.
I'm not trying to bring down what he did. I mean, they switch parts every night.
I'm going to tell you.
Like Paul
shit.
Dano, Paul Dano and Ethan Hawke are like, no, we'll just play our parts.
Yeah.
We'll just be the parts that we would play, and we will play them.
But they put a challenge to themselves, John C. and...
Yeah. I mean, that was nuts.
That's interesting.
But I was so happy to get to see it, because those guys are two of my favorite actors, and, you know, like... Those P.T. Anderson movies, Magnolia and Boogie Nights.
Yep.
Both of those guys in both of those movies. It doesn't get any better, I don't think.
I keep wanting to say a thing, but I'm high, so I can't remember anyone's name. Is a problem. Like, not the people here, but like the people I want to talk about.
Okay.
So I need help remembering somebody's name. Who is the guy who was like a sword fighter in Princess Bride? And
Cary Elwes.
No, not him.
Mandy Patinkin?
Yes. Yes.
Mandy Patinkin.
You win. I was thinking...
See, this is more of a stoner conversation than theater.
But it's reminding me of theater, because when you're talking about True West with those people in that story, I'm thinking, oh, man, that would be probably pretty incredible to see, because these are people you already know are good at things, and then you see them do this whole other, like... thing
that
live
they're good at.
That they're good at, and it's like fucking incredible. And it happened to me. I saw something Mandy Patinkin did recently, and it was so good, it fucked my head up. It was so good.
What did you see?
What did he do?
He was doing some musical he's in.
Oh, okay.
And he sang this song.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what? How the fuck is he good at that? How is he that good at singing?
He has a very angelic voice.
Oh my God.
It's a high voice.
People were super into it for a little while.
Yeah. He was a big theater star in the 80s.
Yeah, and he was like in Evita.
So you didn't get to see that. You've never seen that side of him.
Mm-mm, mess me up.
You didn't see that skill set.
Was not ready for it.
Okay.
I'm like, that's Inigo Montoya. What the fuck is he doing here?
But it blew your mind.
It did.
Okay.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be me.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because it was going to be boop,
thought we'd all get a taste of that.
Selfish musician.
So this is a newfangled thing that was gifted to me, and I appreciate it. I want to make the best of it. But basically the idea is like you sit here and smoke out of it, and the weed's in the tube, and then when it's ash, you can just sort of like a boop, and it kind of like, almost like a hypodermic needle or something. But see, there I just pushed the whole thing out when I didn't mean to. Earlier it was on fire and falling out. Like I don't,
this is the
I'm
product?
Not good with it.
It looks like it was taking a poop when
but
you
if
did
somebody's,
that. It did.
But if somebody's good with it, then I say bless them and all that they know, all of their friends. But I can't get it to, I'm not good at it.
Is that the Poke Bowl thing right there?
And this is the Poke Bowl. Have they gifted you with one?
They have.
Yeah. Oh,
and I haven't opened it yet, and they're not happy about it.
What do you mean you haven't opened it yet? Is the box a good size for like, is it a nice end table or something?
It's just the kind of thing where they're like, do you want one of these? And I'm like, yeah. And I think they assumed I smoke all the time. And I don't. So I haven't opened it. And they're not happy.
But what is it though?
That's the kind of thing too, I really still don't know. Even though I have one, I kind of don't know.
The Poke Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, like, let's say you have a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use my high court gavel. You know, it's all clogged full of ash or whatever, and you're done. You use the thing pointing up in the middle, you go like that. This is great for the camera, by the way, with that thing in the way. But like, you go like that, and you get all the ash out of there, cleans it all out, and you reload it or whatever. And then the ashes are just in this bowl with rubber on the bottom, so they all just fall right out into the garbage.
Mm.
Oh.
And you can also close it up. And it is a great conversation piece because people go, what is that?
Mm. Well, I'm glad I know what it is now because I have one and I should use it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And they're geniuses in terms of how much free advertising they've gotten out of this show.
Because
I don't think they've paid us anything. But I just like that all my guests get one if they want one.
Oh,
I already have one.
It just feels like a nice gesture that I don't have to do anything.
And they get mentioned a lot. You just explain the whole thing.
Good.
People ask me about it all the time. What is it? And I'm still not good at describing it. I'm not a good like QVC type.
I see.
And I was terrible at this thing. But I want to see if you guys can do some... a few things with us that we do here on the show after we take a break. Are you guys doing all right?
Yes.
Doing fantastic.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
When you find yourself in San Francisco, be sure to check out Mo Green's, an elite cannabis destination right in the heart of San Francisco. When visiting this premium consumption lounge, let their expert bud tenders guide you through their extensive menu to tailor your experience. Mo Green's, where premium cannabis products and unparalleled customer service go hand in hand. From flower, pre-rolls, vape pens, topicals, concentrates, edibles, and accessories, their products are all curated by their team of skillful buyers and thoroughly tested to ensure the highest quality. All adults 21 and over can shop, relax, and enjoy cannabis in this safe and comfortable space. Mo Greens is a place where you can bring your mother. Plus, the Wi-Fi is speedy. Located in a historic building on Mid Market Street, just steps away from incredible theater and music venues like the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium and the Orpheum, groundbreaking tech companies like Twitter and Dolby, and old guard standards like the Main Library and the magnificent City Hall. Their values are based on multiple multiple generations of San Franciscan wisdom, inclusion, breathtaking beauty, and realized potential. Mo Greens will deliver the finest cannabis dispensary experience you can find, and we look forward to hosting you soon. Mo Greens combines old school San Francisco charm with unparalleled customer service, creating a truly elite cannabis experience. Go to mogreens.com to plan your visit.
Jury selection continues this week in a Manhattan courtroom where former President Donald Trump is on trial for falsifying business records. Prospective jurors were asked 42 questions aimed at determining whether they can be fair and impartial, such as, can you be fair and impartial? Have you ever been a Boogaloo boy or in Antifa? And what podcasts do you listen to? Trump's required to be present in the courtroom for this trial that could last until June. And he's been talking to reporters before he goes into the courtroom.
I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election.
Donald J. Trump in court this week on Today Explained, every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, 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 everybody. I'm Doug Benson. Come join me on See You Live as we watch the classic Tommy Boy and video chat together. Join the party. I'll be live for questions. Download the See You Live app from the Google Play Store or Apple App Store and stay tuned to social media for deets and get your tickets to join me. See you soon, everyone, and I'll see you live.
Hey, we're back with Open Mic Eagle and Baron Vaughn, and Alicia's here with Pot Topics. But before we get to that, I just want to say, how many episodes do you think you've done of this show, if you had to guess?
That's a good question. I think my first show was last May.
Was it?
Yeah, but for a while we weren't doing it as often as we do now. So now it's hard to tell because we started with just like, you know, one show each time we came in.
That's true.
But it's been two every other week for a long time.
Now we do 2 point something shows.
This is math. I wasn't prepared to come do on camera.
That's okay. I'll do the Patreon list really quick and then we'll. These are people that subscribe to Patreon, 420 Club, and donate basically to the show, keep us going for I don't know how many years now. JB, Steve Fortner, Wantel Williams. Mm-mm. I just noticed that Daniel wasn't here. He promised he was going to be here today.
That's not a real name.
That's not a real
name. Wantel?
Yeah. Wantel Williams.
Oh, yeah? Really? Okay. Well, I don't know why you're...
Yes, that's a real name.
Wantel Williams doesn't want people to know he smokes weed and watches your show.
I mean, that would be...
versed.
That would be crazy timing for someone with the last name Williams to have a kid and, you know, for the joke to land. Because what's Montel doing now? You just see him in ads for something.
He
right?
sells insurance to people who are about to die, I think, looks like when you just look at the commercial real fast and don't really pay attention.
Yeah.
It sounds shady.
It does.
Yeah. It's like on news channels mostly.
Yeah,
right?
It's like infomercial status.
But he's very pro marijuana as medicine because it's good for us. It made him feel better when he had
a thing.
He did have a thing.
He had a television show.
Yeah, you look it up, Taylor.
It made him feel good when he had that television show.
He had a real disease that marijuana was very helpful for him.
Yes, I don't remember what
but
it
now
is,
I
though.
Forget which one. I feel bad. Josh Slade, Marcus Ness, Richard Thompson, Jake McFarlane, Thomas Takash, Nicholas Purcell, and Kendall Guro. Okay.
Only one sounded fake.
He what? MS.
MS.
Apologies to everybody for not knowing that. But yes, I knew it was something that happened with him, and that's why he was a very strong advocate for marijuana, but also seemed to be like, but don't be doing it recreationally. You know, that seemed to be like his caveat. Yeah. I got that vibe. I don't think he was really like into people that just want to have fun. Mm. But I could have been wrong about that, so please let me know. My email address is I don't give a fuck at Gmail.
That was
definitely someone's email already.
It's got to be, right? So yeah, somebody's going to get.
Well,
yeah, I like that.
They're kind of asking to be emailed, though. Is that wrong to say?
Strangers should email that person constantly.
That's true.
Maybe that's what they open it for, like, yeah, so people can vent, kind of like a free therapy deal.
It's like a confession box.
Yeah.
I bet you someone held it hostage.
I think whenever somebody says they don't give a fuck, they've already given a little bit of a fuck. Just for saying.
They're not giving
just for taking the trouble.
The truth is the opposite.
To say
that is like, there's some slight fuck there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm. I think so.
Well, what they're saying is they're not going to give the rest of that fuck. That's what they're saying.
That they're at the end of their fucks.
Should, yeah, be more honest. I give a partial fuck about this.
I have hit my fuck limit with
right.
you.
Right.
That's yes. what it is.
All right, we've settled that.
You're welcome,
somebody
linguistics.
Contact Funkin' Wagnalls.
It's my nickname in high school.
The whole thing?
Yes.
With an exactly. ampersand?
No.
Is it A-N-D or an and with the Grace and Frankie?
And, the letters.
Is it?
The three letters, yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But it's like kind of like...
It's an diagonal?
Yeah, it's a diagonal angle.
Stylized.
I love that show. I just have to tell you.
You feel like your character is a sort of an ampersand to those two, like a bridge between the two?
Oh, what a great analysis. That's exactly how I would describe.
Nice. And how many seasons now?
We are filming the sixth season wow. right now. Yeah.
And how long does it intend to go? Their
don't
natural
know.
Lives?
Yeah, everybody wants to do it.
I love it.
They're into it.
It's fantastic. There's not enough
it's
of that sort of
cast.
Entertainment.
It's a great cast, exactly.
Yeah, everybody's
and
also,
they want to make that show. They want to make it.
Yeah, and pitching, hey, we've got some character, two ladies who are of a certain age. How about that? Can we get that on TV? Everyone's no, nuh-uh.
And then Netflix
unless
came
it's
along.
Those two amazing ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Netflix, yeah. And a network that doesn't, you know.
They even covered only part sex toys for the elderly. Like, that's.
Yes, they did.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Did they give y'all, like, demographic numbers and tell y'all who?
I get so little information.
Yeah.
They tell me when to be somewhere, and I'm like, okay, I'll see ya. I'll see ya. But they're like, they say a lot of people watch it, but we don't know how many.
Yeah, you know, Netflix is not interesting that way.
They
no
don't
one
share
can
it.
Really claim great Netflix numbers other than a renewal would imply
yes.
great numbers. But if I were Netflix, you know, I'd just renew the stuff that, like, Netflix doesn't seem like it would cancel something that's nominated for or gets awards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas now the networks and Comedy Central, they'll cancel shit after, you know, they'll go, best actress in a comedy.
Yeah.
And then the show gets canceled before the Emmys even happen.
Well, they have different priorities.
Yeah.
As a company.
Like making exactly. sure they keep friends no matter what.
And where their money comes from, you know, is a whole different
friends
situation.
Friends the show she meant.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, that's just a good policy in show business is to keep friends.
You should keep friends.
No matter what.
I thought you meant it like, shady about Netflix.
Oh, no.
I like that company.
That negotiate.
Keep friends?
I got to keep my friends, if you know what I'm saying.
I had to think about it for a second. Yeah. I was like, that's not what she meant.
Okay.
That's not what she meant.
That was a good call.
Yeah. No, it was like $100 million for another year of that, I think.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
To keep friends on.
Yes,
wow,
they can't develop a show about ladies.
That's so much.
They make $100 million off of?
$100 million for one more year of keeping friends on.
You know,
I'm
that's
sure
the
that's
same.
Right. I hope
yeah,
that's
and that's just
that's the
on
same
Netflix.
Creator.
Well, they also have it on TBS and Nick at Night.
But you know, that's the same creator, right?
What?
Of Grace and Frankie.
Oh, is it?
Marta Kaufman.
Oh, wow. There you go.
She's the creator of Friends.
Well, it's a good thing mind she's got, like, something to fall back on. I mean, Friends is ridiculous. I was in one episode, and the check is still pretty good.
Hey.
All this time later, just a random check in the mailbox for 35 cents.
That's
a typical residual, but the Friends ones
I got my
hot.
My first residual check this week.
For what?
Being on At Midnight, and it was 1 cent.
Yes. Well,
literally.
Oh, yes. You don't hear that story anymore. In the 90s, everyone was getting 1 cent checks.
Yeah.
Now.
No, I came back from the mailbox the other day with 30 1 cent checks.
Whoa.
Because I was on At Midnight like 30 times.
You were on that, you were on that a lot.
Yeah. So I got a big stack of tiny checks. But they were different, too. Like, some were 2, some were 3 cents. Like, I was like, what is, how do they, who's the fucking Bartleby Scribner motherfucker sitting somewhere with a quill figuring this shit out under candlelight? What the fuck is happening?
That is like a bummer of paper use just to mail that.
Yeah, just keep track of every little cent, you know?
It's a person that uses a magnifying glass a lot, just like, yes.
They should at least wait till it's a dollar.
Yeah, like, should at least come in a stamp and envelope that it's in. Like that.
But then there's somebody out there that's like, I want that 75 cents. There's always somebody. And but just the act of depositing a 2 cent check just feels ridiculous.
I don't want to show that to anybody.
It's like your time is worth more than
that. What are you talking about? That's a great check.
Is it?
Well, there used to be a bar. There's a bar in the Valley called Residuals. It's still a bar called Residuals, I think. But they no longer do this because I guess it probably got way out of hand. Was that you'd get like a half off your drink if you brought in a residual check that was less than a dollar.
That's, yeah.
And, you know, so a lot of out-of-work actors were just fucking rolling in there every night.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's really funny.
Yeah, so at one point they just went... It was one of those sad things too. Whenever like a restaurant has something like that and you go in, it's not a thing anymore. But now you're like, oh, do I stay or do I just leave in a huff because they're not going to take my residual check? And I stayed. Because it's not a lot of good, not a lot of bars in that area. Alicia, you know, I'm sure we're almost out of time, but do you have any pot topics you'd
here we go.
You'd like to share?
Oh, shit, that's right.
Well, at the time of watching this episode, there will be a vote happening. It's for a bipartisan bill that would protect banks that decide to work with cannabis companies.
Boom.
So that's pretty big.
Love it.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, protect them from what? What really do they get protection from?
They can get penalized right now for agreeing to take money from those companies.
Oh, like yeah, the most Federal banks. Reserve? Who penalize? Okay.
Yeah, all the weed businesses that are thriving in the recreational weed states and medical ones everywhere. Everywhere money's being made off of weed, no banks will let them put their money there.
Wow.
So what do you do with all that fucking money?
Yeah, what
money?
Do you do with that shit?
They have cash.
You have, yeah, that's you have a lot of this cash and you have, you know, and that's bringing crime to that problem, not to marijuana. Mm. You know, it's like making that unnecessarily adding extra layers of criminal potential.
And when they do taxes, they have to have somebody from the IRS come and count cash out.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
Like, wow, yeah. That's nuts.
It's a whole pain in the ass.
Yeah,
it's the same
absurd.
Dude making the 1 cent checks.
Yeah. And the reason it's changing, I assume, is politicians, they're realizing that there's money in it. Why why put a hurdle up like that that's going to start, you know, stopping the money stream?
Yeah, it's going to keep the money out of the system.
Yeah. But so that's great news.
Yes, we have time for another.
Okay,
like
let's get
good,
another piece
right?
of great news.
Or am I wrong?
No, I think we can do it. I haven't seen a signal in forever.
So this is, I'm really bummed about this because I think even recently we were talking about how New Jersey was really on their way to legalizing recreational marijuana. And everything seemed in place and they just did a vote and the Democratic Party split and it did not happen.
Mm. The Democrats split on that?
Yep.
Come on, Democrats.
That's in New Jersey?
What the
yes.
hell?
Yes. So they argue that it would be a public health menace to their communities. That was their argument.
Where do they get this idea from? Like, what neighborhoods are having that problem in the states that have legalized?
Yeah.
The problems that were there still exist. You know, it didn't solve any problems. But there's no places that are having whatever that was you just said. That's not happening. Right?
Is there any state in New England that has medicinal or recreational?
Well, I guess Massachusetts would count. Yeah.
They have which one?
They have straight up recreational.
Straight up?
D.C. is definitely recreational. Right?
Yeah, I've seen lots of footage of people in Boston going into the dispensaries there.
Oh, shit.
You know, in Massachusetts, and they love it.
Because the East Coast seemed like it was the last bastion of fucking
weird
ass
Well, yeah, I mean, New York still
morals.
Really hasn't,
That's
you know,
crazy.
The state
you can't get weed
flipped.
In New York.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they keep trying.
Yeah,
oh, man.
You know, it'll get there, but, you know, lots of states are on board, and yet still there's some sort of argument still being made that... that it's gonna make problems instead of just making money for, you know, And it could be making money for the rich people that are the ones that are paying these politicians to be against these things. Right. It's, they don't even, not even good businessmen. I mean, I guess prisons, they're making their money off of prisons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, because if it's legal, then there's less crime.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy. Real bummer, Alicia.
Hey, this is cool, though. Listen to this
we
one.
We got a nice one?
In Texas.
Love it already.
Yeah, we were all in Texas very recently, actually. There's a new bill stating that Texans caught with small amounts of marijuana will now be subjected to a fine instead of jail time.
How about it? Hallelujah. Mm.
That's all of Texas?
Yeah, so it's passed first hurdle.
It's not official.
Yeah, and so now it has to go to the Committee on Calendar, as it's called. And they're the ones that actually schedule out the legislation. So it's so the first
could,
step. It's on
they
its
could,
way,
like,
hopefully.
They could veto it or something like that?
The calendar committee decide they could there's not enough it. Days.
But that sounds great. That sounds great for, you know,
wonderful.
Weed smokers, law enforcement, everybody wins on that because it's just a hassle for everybody.
I used to drive to South by Southwest a lot when I used to go just
from here?
Doing... Yeah, we used to do it all the time. Well, we used to try to book a tour between here and there, try to do like Phoenix, Albuquerque, and then do a show there. But sometimes the shows wouldn't work out because there's 1,000 bands trying to do that route at the same time. But Texas was always really scary because there's a lot of checkpoints, you know, for immigration or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that jail thing was a serious matter for touring musicians that enjoy smoking weed while they tour.
Yeah, you gotta have a decoy bus.
I never know. Who has a decoy bus?
I thought somebody might.
It seems like a good idea.
It's a great idea.
Like, it seems like anytime there's like, so, you know, the band members have separate buses, then, the, you know, one of them could be a decoy bus.
Okay.
Decoy bus. I just like that. It just sounds cool.
It's a great title.
I mean, that's why Snoop and Willie Nelson are always getting pulled over because they paint their names on the side of their buses. True. So that's cause right there to get pulled over.
Mm. Yeah, but like you get through TSA all the time.
I do. Shh. that's a great story, though. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. Can we do a marijuana know something? Okay.
Oh.
You gotta wait for it. Oh my! It would be so funny if we sat here for a few minutes. I ask you guys a question. I don't know the answer. All of us are going to try to figure it out together.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
Right? According to a 2008 survey, what percentage of British teens thought Sherlock Holmes was a real person?
What year is that again?
2008.
Oh, okay.
So when did the Robert Downey Jr. thing first happen?
Probably right around there.
Around there?
But it was British teens.
Yeah.
So they had that Benedict Cumberbatch version of Sherlock.
That was on TV?
I think that was on TV.
But was that... That seems time. More recently.
I think it was around that time, though.
Really? So lots of big and small screen adaptations of this
what percentage?
Fake person. And supposedly, I'm guessing, British teens really fell for it or something.
What's weird, though, is if there are so many different versions of Sherlock Holmes, how come... The teens didn't pick up on that. Like, how can one person be real if he's on all these different formats?
Right, you know what I mean? Played by different people. Somehow kids get fooled by this Santa Claus bullshit.
Yeah, right, but like
every
teens,
year where the kid sees 18 different Santa Clauses and the excuse is always, Santa gets around, or you know.
That's what they say about him.
You know, why is Santa so skinny? Santa lost some weight from running around making your gifts. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't. This has to be a high number, right?
It's got
to
be.
I say it's got
to
be.
Why bother to ask the question if it's
35%?
69%?
Yeah. I'm going to go high on it.
I think, yeah. 69.
Because I think it's low, so it's probably the opposite.
I think why ask unless.
So is that crazy. Like, do we all make a guess?
Oh, yeah. Do you have one?
But is there like a prize?
No.
So satisfaction of knowing you know something.
There's like, yeah, you get like civic pride, like everyone in your hometown is so happy for you.
That is one of your AKAs.
It is. I wanted to use my Price is Right strategy of just doing 1% over hers, but there's no prize.
Well, then you'd have to go 100% because I'm going 99.
Oh, okay.
99?
Okay. 99? I'm gonna go 74.
I think for some reason these kids just got bamboozled.
Yeah, I do too. I agree.
All right, yeah, let's see.
It's gotta be a high number. That's why we're asking it on the show.
I'm curious.
There's an assumption it'll be high.
So you're gonna go the opposite direction?
Yeah, I'm going the opposite direction.
Where are you gonna go? If your price is right, you go $1.
I'm sticking at 35%.
That's a good guess.
35.
That's a third of a population. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's true. Is there an answer?
What's Alicia's guess?
I'm sticking at 69.
69, sorry, I forgot. Here we go. I'm going 99.
Sweet mother
flippin'. 58%. Oh, you got it. We all went over.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my goodness. By the rules of the Price is Right.
Good job.
20% in that same poll thought Winston Churchill is not a real person.
Not a real person?
Not a real person. Shit, we just went really long on this segment because it said break a while ago, but that was such an exciting,
exciting reality.
Thank you, Alicia.
Hey, thanks.
We'll be right back with these guys and the Dab King. We'll be right back. Admit it, you think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may think that no one wants your data and that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details, but you'd be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. To protect yourself from cyber criminals, use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. It has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. You can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having your personal data stolen. For less than $7 a month, you can get ExpressVPN protection. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Doug. That's ExpressVPN.com/Doug for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Doug to learn more. Hey, here we are in this basement. Open mic Eagle. Baron Vaughn. I was leaving a hole there for you to do a gesture or say something.
That's my gesture.
Him.
I was going to do something else.
But you didn't.
And then Baron's here. Yeah.
We're really not good at improvising at all.
Taylor Rizzo.
Not as high as I am right now.
Oh my God. I saw Baron do some musical singing.
He's
improvisation,
really good at
that. And he is so good at it.
I'm all right.
It made me angry.
Makes up songs all the time.
It's like basketball, though. It's like... You know, sometimes I think too much as I'm calling back to an earlier thing.
Oh, you feel like you think too much.
Mm-hmm.
But in basketball, you just stop. And then in musical improv, you do great.
Oh, all right. I'll take it then.
Yeah.
But that stuff is, I find that very entertaining. Because I like musicals already, but then when they're just making it up on the spot and are good at it, oof. Very. We should give them a plug. It's called Off Book.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I saw you do.
Jess McKenna and Zach.
She's so good at that.
I saw you in Montreal.
Jess McKenna's amazing at that skill as well.
Yes. Yeah. That was fun. And they are so good at it. Their connection, it's incredible.
But that's where you really impressed me is that, like, you don't do that with them all the time. They're always doing it with each other. So you're just in there in the mix doing your thing, and it was terrific. And it's, you can listen to it.
Well, thanks.
I mean, everyone can listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just was sort of looking in a direction when I said that. But Taylor's here with the dab rig that we really adore. It's my favorite dab rig I've ever met.
It's pretty great.
It's called Switch, and it's from Dr. Dabber.
Yes.
It looks like a Sonos speaker.
I like to say, what did I say? Oh, no, it looks like something that Whoopi Goldberg would put in front of somebody in the bar on the Starship Enterprise.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
She just put that down and wink and then walk away.
Yeah, Whoopi was on that show. That's right.
Jesus Christ, she's done so many things.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really all over the
next
universe.
Generation.
Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, so we've got that device, and so we like to, if you want to, I know you guys have stuff to do today, so by all means, say no. Taylor and I will just do some.
Oh, yeah.
Some doesn't pass.
I'm awesome. I'm just going to watch you guys.
Yeah, we'll do it.
I'm fascinated.
I love to show people how great I am at it.
I did a dab one time in my life today.
Just once.
One time.
That was enough for you.
Yeah, because what happened was I was hanging out with a buddy of mine I hadn't seen in years, and we went to this bar to hang out, and I saw some other people I know, and they said they were going to smoke. So I went to smoke with them, and they pulled out the dab rig, and I hit the dab, and I had to go home and tell my friend I had to leave immediately. I hadn't seen him in years, but I couldn't talk.
And what happened? Are you guys still friends?
Oh, yeah, we're good. Later, I was able to use words and told him what happened, and we were fine.
How did you communicate that you had to go home without words?
Just gestures? I just told him the fact that I had to go home. I didn't say the reason.
I got you.
I just went home, and then later said the reason.
Yeah, that, I hope you told him sooner rather than later, because that would eat at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did he have to go home?
Right.
Number one is diarrhea, right?
Right. Yeah.
Diarrhea.
That's the one that you have
and you don't want to say it out loud. Not even out of embarrassment, but saying diarrhea makes it shoot right out. Once you've admitted it to yourself,
it's like
out loud,
activating it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really like you're not. There's no turning back.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. That's. So, how does it work?
Basically, it works like a giant vape pen. You just put the oil in there and press the button, and it turns red while it's heating up, and when it goes green, it's ready to hit, and then it cools back down afterwards.
This definitely isn't what they had the time that I
was going to say. Did they? I assume they pulled out a torch and lit it up.
It was very crackish. That was another turn off.
That's a big thing. If you use a torch and you're not like timing how long you're letting the nail cool afterwards, you're going to
They weren't doing any of that science.
Yeah.
They were just lighting it on fire.
It's really elegant.
Elegant, though.
Yeah, it's convenient because it regulates all of that for you. You don't have to do any of the work. You just press a button.
And it looks like a megaphone.
Yeah.
Nobody asks you anything.
It's fun. You have it right up there like a DJ booth. Have a good night.
Yeah, you can make it light up and sparkle.
It's like a little personal disco.
Just me alone in my room, hanging out, listening to music.
It's good.
Staring at a light.
Can we do another quiz thingy really quick since it's just me and Taylor doing dabs? Might as well make you guys do something. Okay, I mixed up the cards and I looked down and I saw the answer to this next question. And then I saw part of the question.
So
here's what we're gonna do.
Like Jeopardy, we're gonna do Jeopardy?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you the answer. Now I wanna know something.
Wow.
Here's the answer, and then you guys...
It's hard to get used to.
I froze.
We'll try to think of what the question is, but I've got a hint to help figure out what the question is.
That hint is the answer.
You guys don't bring it up at all. I'm going to let you start. The answer is 1 month. Now, you got to keep in mind, like 58%, remember how like that was... It wasn't outrageously high, but it was a high number. I mean, it was outrageous that 58% of those kids thought that, but that's how these questions are. Is there like, you know, the answer is not going to be something simple.
1 month.
What is the gestation period of a wild chicken?
Is that true, or are you just having some fun?
Both.
Wow, I can't even think of
1 month.
Isn't that
there's a key word that I saw.
Oh, good.
that I think helps move this along, give us more ideas. It has something to do with a Rubik's Cube. But what with a Rubik's Cube would take a month?
I mean, it'd probably take
not
me a month to figure it out.
Not first person to solve it.
Hmm.
Is it like maybe like how long it took Judge Judy to figure it out?
How long did it take the first blind person to figure out a Rubik's Cube?
When would a blind person know that they've solved the Rubik's Cube? Does somebody have to just watch?
It's somebody, yeah, it's your buddy goes.
You're warm.
Hold, wait.
Warmer.
Wait.
Oh. No, not that way. Not that. No, no, no.
You could just tell him. You did it.
Yeah, you did it.
No.
Great job.
1 month.
What a month.
What a month.
What a month we have.
Yeah, after a month, you just kind of give in.
How are your wrists? Broken. All right. This is silly. It's going to be hard to come up with.
Is it how long it took to invent? How long did it take to invent the Rubik's Cube?
No. How long did it take? I mean, because it's also got to be kind of a crazy answer to the question. An answer we might not have come up with.
How long did Rubik's stare at a cube?
How long was Rubik still alive after inventing the cube?
How long after inventing the Rubik's Cube did Rubik's take to change his name to Cubix?
That's Rubik's Cubix.
Rubik's changed his name to Cubix.
1 month.
How long did he have to think about that before he did
before he pulled the trigger on the name change?
Felix Rubik's.
Mm-hmm.
How long was the Rubik's Cube the number one bestseller on the New York Times? bestseller list.
I think that's also very fair.
They put things that aren't books.
You think
there?
It was a book?
Yeah, toys.
Sure.
It is a book.
Maybe before Amazon it was.
Yeah.
Maybe they did do it.
They definitely sell them at Barnes & Noble.
Yep,
you think?
They do.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. They're going to sell booze at Barnes & Noble.
What?
Yeah, about time.
They're getting liquor licenses.
I see a cheesecake there.
I don't think I've seen a Rubik's Cube. For sale.
I'm just gonna go in
anywhere.
There and like do a shot and then go right to the horticulture section.
I bought a bunch drunk of Rubik's Cubes. But I never really solved one.
I wanna know what this question is.
How long does the average person remain interested in their Rubik's Cube?
That's a great one.
Oh.
Is that the real answer?
No, I'm still guessing.
That's pretty reasonable.
I just wanted to put a guess on the table, but we got to wrap it up. So what's your guess, Taylor?
How long did it take the first blind person to...
Oh, yeah, that's
just,
right.
Still sticking with the blind.
You stick with it.
Okay.
Okay.
We didn't put enough holes in that. Aaron?
How long did it take Felix Rubik's to invent the Rubik's Cube?
Okay.
It is hubris.
I mean, I would argue that, you know, it probably took him a lifetime because he had to have a personality that would think of that shit. but anyway, Mike.
How long did it take a chimpanzee to do it?
Oh,
in
not bad.
That's a pretty
some
good.
Fucked up condition he was being kept in.
I like that.
It was being kept in.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. After creating it, how long did it take Erno Rubik to solve a Rubik's Cube?
That's so close.
Wow.
I feel like...
So
even
he created
just...
it, and then it took him a month to figure it out.
Huh.
That's weird.
Erno?
Erno Rubik.
So when he created it,
to Felix.
It was already
Felix
solved, right?
Felix is great.
Slick.
If he created it, it was already solved when he created it.
No, he created a block that had a bunch of letters on it and then had to figure out how to get them all, you know, lined up.
Letters?
So,
is letters?
Not letters, colors.
Just colors, yeah. So when he made it, he
made it a thing where
this is
all those colors were on there.
This is bothering me.
But then, or maybe he invented it with the idea to then solve it, is that he invented this thing where he just take all the colors and mix them up and then...
made it in
see
order.
See how long it takes him to figure out how to get it.
It's like how long the guy who invented jigsaw puzzles, still would have taken him some time to put together the puzzle.
Okay.
It just happened to take him a month.
Yeah.
The new Negroes, this new stand-up comedy music show on Comedy Central and BET launches April 19th. Did I get that in time? Okay, we still, shit. And our next show is April 9th at 12:15. Thank you. I should have said it a little slower.
Thanks to Mo Greens for being a sponsor of today's show. If you're looking for an elite cannabis destination, make the wise choice. Mo Greens, the premium consumption lounge in the heart of San Francisco. Mo Greens combines old school San Francisco charm with unparalleled customer service, creating a truly elite cannabis experience. Go to mogreens.com to plan your visit.